later. So it is a new year. It's hard to believe we're already a full week, 7 whole days into 2018. So I wanted to ask you this morning, how is your year going so far? There's not much to compare it to at this point. 1 week. How's it going so far? Cold. If it's anything like my year has been so far, I'm having a really hard time getting back into the non-holiday routines. Like the alarm clock has gone off every morning this week, and I don't like it. And so it's kind of been a struggle, and the cold does not help. I'm warm under the blankets. I don't want to move. So it's been a bit of a struggle for me. But how are your resolutions going? We're only a week in, so we're all doing really well with resolutions, right? No one wants to answer this question. How many of you made resolutions? How many of you made New Year's resolutions? There's a few hands. Statistically, they say 45% of Americans make resolutions, although I'm thinking from like the three hands I just saw, we're not average people here. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think some of us may have made them, we just won't admit them, because maybe you haven't kept them already, I don't know. But you know the statistics, and I look at this every year, it's always interesting to me, how few people succeed in their resolutions. In fact, one thing I read this week, this was a newer one for me, said that a little over 9% of people feel like they achieved their goal. So I'm not sure what that means, that they feel like they achieved their goal. Maybe they actually did achieve it, but they said only 9% of people feel like they were successful in their resolutions. But every year we start the year off wanting to put some goal out there. And again, maybe I'm seeing many of you didn't do that, but we're going to talk about them for a few minutes. So maybe hopefully you did make a few, but I think what happens is every year we start off a new year. It's a fresh new year, new opportunities, and we want to start the year off with something new. And we want to start the year off by doing something more. I was thinking of all the different resolutions that we've made over the years, or I've made over the years, and it really doesn't matter what the resolution is. The goal always seems to be we want more. We want to improve things. So let me give you a few examples this morning. One of the top resolutions is more health. Whether that means you're going to exercise more, you're going to diet more, you're going to lose those 5 pounds, you're going to quit some bad habit. Many of us start off the new year saying, hey, I want to have more health in my life. I want to be healthier this year. Some people start off the year and say, I want to be more financially stable this year, whether that means a new job or that means getting on a budget. I want more finances in whatever capacity. I want more relationships or better relationships. I want to connect with my mom or my kids better this year. I want to connect with my grandkids better. I want to be on social media less and face-to-face with people more. I want more relationships. I want to travel more. I want to serve more. But every year we start off, it seems, with this goal that it's a new year. I want to do more. I want to do better this year. And also, I think many of us start off the year by saying we want to seek God more. Every new year, it seems, I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to come to church more. I want to seek God more this year. And obviously, this is a really great resolution to have. And I want to, as a church, kind of explore what that would look like to have more of God. And so since most of you said you didn't have a New Year's resolution, I'm giving you one. Isn't that nice of me? So now 100% of us have a New Year's resolution, and that is we want to have more of God in our lives. But I want to start by thinking about this and saying, what if we've been going about having more of God in the wrong way? So we're launching this series this morning entitled More. More of God in our lives in 2018. And this is an idea I've been thinking about recently. John Owens gave me a book entitled, if you want to guess, it's entitled More, by a guy named Alan Kraft. I know several of you have been reading it, and it just has been helping me to think about what does it mean to have more of God in my life. And I think part of the thing is every resolution that we ever set out in New Year's, we struggle with, and we often fail because more takes work. If I want to go on a diet, I have to work hard at losing weight and exercising. More takes work. It's why we often struggle with resolutions. But what if more of God in our lives was not about doing more? What if more of God in our lives is less about doing more and more about doing less? Think through that a little bit. It's a little confusing. What if more of God in our lives is less about doing more and it's more about doing less? In other words, what if we stopped working so hard, working so much, and simply surrendered to God's leading? To God's presence in our lives. And I know it sounds paradoxical. It sounds backwards. But let's walk through this a few minutes. I want you to think back to the disciples, the 12 guys who spent all those years with Jesus, traveling and listening to his teach. The first disciples simply followed Jesus. It didn't come with a long to-do list of activities. You remember the disciples, many of them being fishermen, tax collectors, different jobs. They're working along, and one day this rabbi, this Jesus guy shows up, and he simply says, follow me. He didn't give them a list of to-do things. It was just, come follow me. I'll lead you. Just come follow me. And so these disciples, these 12 guys, went everywhere with Jesus. They traveled with Jesus. They asked him a lot of questions along the way. But for 3 years, they were with Jesus, following Jesus. And so I want to ask you, could they have had any more of God in their lives? They are physically with Jesus, the Son of God. They are traveling with him. They could not really have had any more of God than that. So what happened after the cross? Jesus on Good Friday goes to the cross. He dies, he comes back to life on Easter, and 40 days later he ascends to heaven. What happens now? Did they lose their connection with God? See, for 3 years they've been traveling with Jesus. They have him physically in front of him. They have all of God that they can really have, and now Jesus is gone. And so this is where we kind of look at our scripture this morning in John 14. Jesus is talking to his disciples. In John 14, starting at verse 15, he says to them, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. So this is a conversation that's taking place at the Last Supper. This is the Thursday night before Jesus goes to the cross. This is 3 years after Jesus spending time with the disciples every day. 3 years of the disciples having all of God because they're with Jesus. And Jesus looks at them and he says, if you love me, do what I've said. If you love me, follow my commands. If we have a relationship, continue to follow me. But he follows it up by saying, I won't leave you alone. If you love me, if we have a relationship, continue to follow me, but I won't leave you alone. I will send another advocate. This advocate, this counselor, this helper will help you and be with you, just like me. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father to send you another advocate. Now, when we read the word another, we think, okay, there's one, there's another. But in the Greek, that word another implies this idea of the exact same kind. So Jesus says, I will ask the Father to send you another helper exactly like me. At the core of our desire to have more of God in our lives, as you and I desire to have more of God today, I think the idea we should have is this idea of the disciples. To have Jesus with us at every moment of every day. To never feel like Jesus isn't there with us. And this is exactly what Jesus tells the disciples he'll send. Another one of him. Jesus says, I won't leave you alone. I will ask the Father to send another helper, another advocate, who will be just like me. He'll be with you and he'll be in you. In fact, Jesus says to the disciples, I will come to you. Those verses we end that Jesus says, I will come to you. But it's not Jesus who comes. It gives us this illustration that even though it's the Holy Spirit who comes, he's just like Jesus. Jesus promises to have God send the Holy Spirit to be in us and with us. The very Spirit of Jesus, the same kind of helper or counselor. But that's not how we typically look at the Holy Spirit, is it? Do we think about the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives as Jesus with us every day and every moment? Jesus says the world will not know the Holy Spirit, but we as his followers will. And the question that we want to start this new year off with is, do we know the Holy Spirit? Do we really embrace God's Spirit and his presence in our lives? Now, on some level, we all admit that we want more of God. We say, yeah, I would like more of God in my life, but the secret that Jesus tells us is God's already there. We have all of God with us already because his Spirit is inside of us. So when we talk about having more of God, it's not so much about trying to find God. as it is to simply slow down and be with him, as he's already with us. It's simply to learn how to hear him better, or to respond to him better, to connect with him better. And I say simply, and I know it's not that simple. It doesn't feel that simple. Because all of our lives, as we've met Jesus as our Savior, we strive to have more of God. And here I am saying that we have all of God with us already. We simply need to slow down. We simply need to learn how to hear him. And I think the biggest challenge, or the first challenge we want to address this morning, is that we don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Holy Spirit, we just don't know what to do with him. We open our Bibles every morning, every week, and God the Father, we get him. We open it up to Genesis 1 and we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." And so, okay, I get God. He created everything. Like, we conceptualize who God is to some degree. God the Son, Jesus, okay, I can open my Bibles. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these four books that detail his life and his ministry here on earth. I kind of get Jesus to some degree. But then we talk about God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and we don't know what to do with him. He's kind of foreign to us. And many of us, if you grew up like me, and Lancaster County is typical for this, we hold the Spirit at this arm's length. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We just don't know what to do with him, and so we just kind of keep him out there. And yet Scripture says he's in us and with us, and we can have all of God in our lives when we embrace him. So when I talk about embracing the Holy Spirit, what comes to mind? Now, some of us, many of us, when I say embrace the Holy Spirit, our minds go to the far extreme. We label things in our faith, we label things in life in general, but within our faith, we label people who embrace the Holy Spirit, we typically label them like charismatic Pentecostals. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with this tradition of the church, but when we think about embracing the Holy Spirit, at least my mind typically goes to this people just speaking in tongues and talking and not knowing what they're saying. There are people falling over, people jumping up and down and running around, and they're embracing the Holy Spirit. And these type of experiences are way outside my comfort zone and way outside many of your comfort zones, I suspect. And so what do? We avoid them. And so what we tend to do is we hold the Holy Spirit at this arm's length because we don't know what to do with him. So instead of going to that extreme, we let the pendulum swing to the other side. And so we talk about the Holy Spirit, but we have no practical experience with the Holy Spirit. In theory, we all believe in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "I will send the Spirit." We talk about the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit's with us, and we believe this to be true. But in our day-to-day practice, do you see any difference in your life? We don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit, and so we acknowledge him and yet hold him at arm's length. We don't know how to connect with him. So as I was thinking about this idea and just the struggle that I myself face, I thought about Galatians 5. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And this might be familiar to many of you, but the verses are on the screen. And Paul says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So Paul's writing to the Galatians, and he says, hey, the fruit of the Spirit, that's what grows out of me by being in and with the Spirit. If you're walking with the Spirit, Paul says, you'll have love, joy, peace, patience, and all of these other things. Now, do you see these things in your life? Many of us, I've heard people all my life say, I just want more peace in my life. I want more patience. I want more joy in my life. How do we get more of those things? We walk with the Spirit. Paul says these are fruits of the Spirit. So we desire more joy in life. We desire more love and peace and patience. And Paul says we get these things from walking with the Spirit. But we tend to avoid the Spirit because we don't understand him. Do you see how this works? We talk about wanting more joy in our Christian life, but then Paul says it comes from the Spirit. We go, okay, I don't know what to do with the Spirit. I'll hold him out here. It's like this. It's like I'm hungry. I want to go to the grocery store. That's where I get food. I see, I'm hungry. I'd like to eat, but I don't really like the grocery store. So conceptually, I know the food's at the grocery store, but I'm going to stay hungry because I'm not willing to go there. And we stay hungry. This is the challenge that we face. In the book entitled More, I wrote down a quote this week. It said, "The joy, the peace, and the power promised us in Scripture are all dependent upon our experiencing the Holy Spirit. And quite honestly, we're just not sure what to do with the Holy Spirit." Now understand this morning, as I talk about this, I am not an expert in the Holy Spirit. This is something that I'm trying to discover with you all this morning. I've grown up on this far extreme of the pendulum where we just hold the Holy Spirit at arm's length and I don't know how to embrace him. Because the other side of the pendulum seems really crazy to me. It's very uncomfortable for me. Some of you are probably farther along in this walk and trying to understand how to live with the Holy Spirit. Certain people in the front two pews have actually written a book on the Holy Spirit. I've not written a book yet. But Scripture is clear. We connect with God through his Spirit. We can't ignore part of who God is and expect to know him. I talk about God the Father and I talk about Jesus, God's Son. But the Holy Spirit is part of God. And so to know God, to have more of God, I have to embrace all of God. And I want more of God. And God says, I'm providing myself to you. My Spirit is in you. You can have more of me. He's inviting us to know him. And this is something that we're uncomfortable with, something we're struggling to understand. And I want to hopefully walk through this a little bit together over the next several weeks to remind us that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in each of our lives. Scripture teaches us over and over again, if we confess our faith in Jesus as our Savior, he promises to send his Spirit to live inside of us and to be with us. And this is uncomfortable because it's not a physical thing. And we're very empirical. We want to be able to touch and see things to understand things. And so to understand the Holy Spirit, the spiritual thing, is a challenge. And we try to conceptualize the Spirit. We try to think about what this Holy Spirit means and what it looks like. But because it's not physical, we struggle. One idea that's been popular recently when we think about the Holy Spirit is to think about the spiritual force. And I think something driving this is Star Wars. Right? And you all know I'm a Star Wars fan, but for the last how many years, these Star Wars movies keep coming out and they talk about the force. And it talks about these individuals who are strong in the force, and the force is everywhere and it flows through things. And so we try to think about the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's a spiritual force. That's a good way to look at it. But it's not. There are two main flaws here, is that the Holy Spirit is not a force, but an individual of the Godhead. So it's not just this spiritual flow in our world. No, it's God living inside of us. So what does that mean for God to live inside of me? The second thing that's just wrong with this Star Wars mentality is that there's not some who are strong in the force and some who are not strong in the force. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, we all have him. And so often in church, we think, well, there are people who are more spiritual. They're stronger in the force, and they have the Holy Spirit, and I don't. And that's just the way it is. But Jesus says, I will send my Spirit to live in you and with you. And he's talking to everyone, not just key people. Last week, we met down in the gym for our service, and we talked about the spiritual gifts, these blessings from the Holy Spirit. That each and every one of us have a gift of the Spirit, a manifestation of the Spirit's work in our lives. And while each one of them are different, we each have different gifts, there is one Spirit. There's one body. It's not a matter of who is more connected with God through the Spirit. We're all connected. We just have to learn how to use that connection. You can think of it like Wi-Fi, wireless internet. Now, some of you in here have smartphones and your phone is connected to a Wi-Fi network everywhere you go. And other people in here, you don't even have a smartphone. You've heard about this wireless internet thing. You don't really care about it. In this room right now, we have a Wi-Fi signal. Some of you are connected to it, perhaps. Some of you would like to be connected to it. And some of you have no idea how to connect to it. And that's kind of like the Holy Spirit. Almost everywhere we go today in our modern world, you can find a wireless signal. Some of us are connected to them. Some of us would like to be connected. And some of us have no idea they're even there. It's like the Holy Spirit. He's there with us. We just need to learn how to connect to him, how to hear him. And so every year, as I've said, we set out with a goal to connect with God more. Our methods, our typical methods, while good, are not the best way. Because when I talk about connecting with God more, what I typically mean is I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to study scripture. I'm going to attend church. And these are good things. They do help us connect with God more, but they're not the most effective way. Because God is with us and we need to learn how to walk with him. So imagine yourself, an illustration here, imagine that you are driving in the car with your best friend. Maybe you're driving, maybe they're driving, I don't know. But you're driving together, you're going on a road trip, and over the course of several miles, you get lost. Now, I'm sure that your friend knows exactly where they're at, but you're lost. Because if it's a guy, we never admit we're lost. All right? You're driving along, and you're lost. So you stop, and you pull into a car dealership for directions. And there's a young guy out selling cars, and you roll down the window, and you ask him for directions. And he tells you, all right, go left out of the parking lot, take a right at the stoplight, take the next left, take the next right, to go straight for 3 miles, then take another right. What is going to happen? You're going to get lost again. Now, were the directions wrong? No, they just, when you try to apply the directions while living life, while driving in the car, you start to get lost again. What you really needed to do was open the door when you got to the car dealership, grab that young guy, put him in the car with you, and make him come with you. They call that kidnapping, and you shouldn't do it. But that's how you would best figure out where to go. Well, it's the same way in our faith. For many believers in Christ, we settle for directions in our relationship with God. We look at the Bible as a guidebook, telling us how to live. But it doesn't take long to realize we need more than just a list of guidelines to follow. We need the very person of God living in us, his power, his presence with us, and the Holy Spirit enables us to do this. So over the last month, as we've been celebrating Christmas, we talked about Emmanuel. This was part of my sermon on Christmas Eve, this idea of Emmanuel, which means God with us. But God's presence with us didn't end at Christmas. We think about Emmanuel at Christmas time, but Emmanuel, God with us, didn't end at Christmas. It didn't end at Easter. God is always with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. His presence is with us, and he's leading us. In fact, if you would read the entirety of Scripture, it really all centers on this idea of God being with us. In the Old Testament, they built the tabernacle and then eventually the temple, these physical places where God's Spirit would come and they could connect with God. His presence was there. And then at Christmas, God came to be with us. Jesus stepped into flesh to be with humanity. But then on Pentecost, this day that the Holy Spirit comes, something new happened. Because instead of the Holy Spirit being, or the Spirit of God being in a temple, or being in a tabernacle, or being in Jesus as he walked around, the Holy Spirit comes and he's inside each and every one of us. This presence of God is now with the followers, the faithful, each and every one of us, everywhere that we go. God is all about connecting with his people. And he says, I will put my Spirit inside of you to be with you forever. And so are we connecting with his Spirit? Are we listening to the Spirit inside of us? We're going to spend a few weeks looking closely at the Holy Spirit and what this looks like in our life. And it might stretch some of our theological boxes because we're uncomfortable with this sometimes. But when we start off the new year and say, I'm going to exercise this year, what do? I stretch and I use my muscles because I want them to grow. And so with our faith and our theology, our knowledge of God, we're going to stretch it and explore it a bit to see what God says and hopefully to grow in our relationship with God. Because the reality is we're not comfortable talking about a relationship with the Spirit. This idea of relationship, of knowing each other. Again, we talk about God the Father and say, yeah, I have a relationship with God. I can share my testimony about how God has impacted my life. I talk about a relationship with Jesus. We share our stories of faith with one another and say, Jesus met me in my lowest place and showed me how I can have new life in him. We talk about a relationship. But I say, hey, how's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? And you go, I don't know. A relationship with the Holy Spirit just is something we don't talk about. Yet the Apostle Paul has no problems talking about a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's all about relationship. Paul talks, for a few examples, Philippians chapter 1, Paul's going on about the hardships of preaching, the hardships of sharing the gospel. Specifically, he says, I'm in chains. I've been arrested. I'm in jail because of my faith. But I'm going to rejoice. I will find joy in this. Why? He He says God has provided the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says God has given me the Spirit inside of me. This isn't some distant force-like power. Oh, I've been given this happiness. He says, no, I have a relationship. God has put his very Spirit inside of me, so no matter what happens, I can rejoice because God is in me and with me. In Romans 8:26, Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Now, many of us have heard this verse before, and we think, oh, the Holy Spirit, he helps us to pray. But he says he helps us in our weaknesses. That's a relational statement. Because in order to help us individually with our individual weaknesses, the Spirit has to know us, have a relationship with us. If I came up here this morning and said, I want to help you all. I have in my back pocket $100 bills. And everyone gets a $100 bill this morning because I want to help you this year. Is that helpful? I mean, everyone could use $100, I'm sure. Would anyone not like $100 this morning? That's what I thought. That's helpful, but it's not helping you specifically. He says the Holy Spirit will help us with our weaknesses. He knows what we struggle with, and he will help us specifically. If I just give everyone a generic help, that's nice, but it's not specific. It's not a relationship. Paul says the Holy Spirit knows our relationship. He's going to help you with your weaknesses just like Jesus. Paul takes it even farther. Two other verses this morning, 2 Corinthians 13:14. Paul says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And then Philippians 2, he says again, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Paul talks about a fellowship with the Spirit. That's a relationship. He encourages us to have a relationship, to know the Spirit. And this isn't a theoretical concept or a theoretical knowledge of the Spirit, but a close and personal relationship. This word that he uses, this fellowship with the Spirit, it's the same root word that we use for our word church. The body of Christ, the church, is a fellowship, a gathering of like-minded, faithful people in a relationship with one another. We're told to have a fellowship with one another and to fellowship with the Spirit. In fact, it's this very fellowship, this relationship with God's Spirit that unites us as a body of Christ, that unites us as the church. Because we all have a relationship with the same Spirit, and we have a relationship together. We've talked several times in recent months about being a body, being the body of Christ, being united together. The how we do that is the Holy Spirit. As we connect with the Holy Spirit, he connects us with one another. And so the thing is, if we're struggling to understand how we connect with the Holy Spirit, we're going to struggle to connect with one another. Because it's through the Holy Spirit that we're a family. The other thing that Paul implies here in these verses is that we should all have a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That we should each all connect with the Holy Spirit. Again, as I've said already, it's not just this spiritual, super spiritual elite among us. That we all should be doing this. It's just some of us have more experience or more practice with it. And so God is inviting us this morning to experience more of him in our lives. Not by jumping through hoops, but by simply opening ourselves up to his presence. Because he is already in us and with us. As we place our faith in Jesus, we know that the Spirit of God is present in our lives each and every day. Just to reread Jesus' words in John 14, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Do we know him? Are we acknowledging his presence? And so as we start this new year, I want to give us all this resolution to have more of God, to explore together over the next several weeks what a renewed sense of God's presence can look like in our lives as we walk with him. None of us are experts on this. We're in this together. We're going to experience this together, to explore this together. Again, some of us are farther along on the path, perhaps, but we can all have more of God in our lives this year. And unlike any other resolution you may or may not make, we can succeed in this one because God has already done the work. I don't have to do more work to experience God. God is already with me. I simply need to listen and open myself up to him. We're going to talk about what that looks like over the next several weeks. I can't explain all of it this week, but the first step this week as we head into this new year, the first step is spend some time this week praying. Spend some time reading your Bible this week, because this is maybe a little new, a little uncomfortable, and so don't just take my word for it. I love that I stand up here every week and you all nod and smile and say, absolutely, he's perfectly correct. I'm sure you believe everything that comes out of my mouth. So spend some time this week reading John 14, reading other passages of Scripture that talk about the Holy Spirit. Spend some time praying and talking to God this week. If this is uncomfortable to you, tell God. Acknowledge, God, I do want more of you, but this is just outside my comfort zone. Don't be afraid to tell God how you really feel. Acknowledge, I want more, I just don't know how. So I would encourage you to spend some time simply being with God this week and sharing your thoughts. Now, this week happens to be the Brethren in Christ's week of prayer and fasting. As a denomination all across the U.S., this is a week that we as a church have set aside to have extra prayer and to have extra time with God. And so it's a great time to have these conversations. Kind of check off two things on your list: to participate in denominational prayer and fasting, and also to do your homework this week. Now understand, when I say prayer and fasting, we typically think this is a more spiritual thing to do. Ooh, if I have prayer and fasting in my week, I'm one of those super spiritual elite. Prayer and fasting simply means that we're setting more time aside to be with God. Prayer, obviously, is just this conversation with God. Fasting is a fancy way of saying I'm going to do something less to be with God more. So oftentimes we think fasting is giving up a meal. So I'm not going to eat lunch all week. I'll pray during my lunch break. I like lunch. It's really hard for me to give up. So that's meaningful if I give up lunch. It might mean I'm going to watch my favorite TV show less this week to be with God more. Out on the Information Welcome Center next to the directories is a booklet of prayer and fasting. It's a little devotional the denomination has put out. So if you want to read and pray along with our brothers and sisters across the U.S., that's out there as kind of a guide. But either way you do it, the goal this week is simply to think, to pray, and to read into this idea. Can we have more of God? The answer is yes. He's already with us. It's just, how do we do this? And so this year, I'm hoping to take some simple steps forward together to seek more of God. He's given us everything we need. He's living in us already. We just need to start by seeking him and talking to him and opening up our minds and our hearts to experience him more. And so that's your homework this week. Just begin to think and to pray about what it would mean and what it would look like to hear God more in your life. Let's pray. God, this morning as we gather in this new year that you've blessed us with, we think about just wanting to have more of you. Wanting to just feel your presence more, to hear you more, to just walk in joy and peace as the Holy Spirit's in our lives. And yet as we open up Scripture, we read that you already are here. You're already inside of us. You're already with us. And so God, I pray this morning that you would just begin to break the shell of our heart and acknowledge that we can have more. That you are inviting us to this deep personal relationship with your Spirit. That we don't have to jump through any magical hoops or achieve some certain goal to be some kind of spiritual elite, but you have already done the work. You have sent Jesus to give his life on the cross so our sins can be forgiven. And you have sent your Spirit to be inside of us that we would know how to live for you. And so God, I pray this week that you would simply make us more aware of your presence. As we've already sung this morning, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Help us to become more aware of your presence in our lives. Help us to hear you more and to know you more, to not be afraid of simply embracing you and experiencing the joy and the peace and the patience and the love that you bring into our hearts and our lives. God, open our minds to you more this week. And we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.